Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Rumo's conference call to discuss the second quarter 2022 results. Today with us we have Mr. Rafael Bergman, CFO and IRO, and Mr. Gustavo Marder, Investor Relations and Treasury Director. We would like to inform that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. We would also like to inform that Rumo's Q&A session will be presented in Portuguese by the company's management, and there will be simultaneous translation into English. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Rumo's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic conditions, industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Gustavo Marder. Please, Mr. Marder, you may proceed.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Gustavo Marder, Investor Relations and Treasury Director of Rumo. Thank you all for joining us in this earnings conference call for the second quarter 2022. As usual, I would like to start by providing an update on our ESG agenda. During the second quarter, more precisely in May, we have published the 2021 sustainability report. I would like to invite you all to learn more about all the initiatives that we are implementing at Rumo and highlight the reduction of CO2 emissions that we have already accumulated 36% reduction since 2015. Over the last few years, we have modernized our rolling stock, increased the size and the length of our trains, and implemented several technology projects aiming to increase our energy efficiency. We still have room for additional gains, and we have publicly committed to reduce CO2 emissions by 21% until 2030 when compared to the figures for 2020. On the next slide, I will show the main highlights of the second quarter 2022. In this quarter, we delivered results in line with our initial expectations, which put us in a very comfortable position regarding the guidance for the year. Despite the crop failure in the south, we grew in volumes and yields, reflecting not only the higher diesel prices, but also an improvement in the competitive landscape. Rumo continues to consistently gain market share in Mato Grosso and in the Port of Santos. In addition, we continue to advance in the central network using strategic partnerships with our customers to enable new terminals and diversification of cargos. In the next slide, we'll talk more about the central network. Grains performance continues to be very consistent. The Rio Verde terminal, which became operational in the third quarter 2021, has not only allowed us to capture additional volumes in Goiás, but also attracted more volumes from the east region of Mato Grosso, previously not served by Rumo. In June, in a partnership with Coruripe, we have started to transport sugar from Iturama to Santos. Now, we also have partnered with Andali, and we have been operating fertilizers since April, bringing higher volumes and diversification of cargos to the central network. On the next slide, I would like to highlight our market performance. In Mato Grosso, we gained 3.4 percentage points in the second quarter and 6.8 percentage points in the year to date. In Goiás, we were roughly in line in the second quarter with a 5 percentage point gain in the year to date. In the ports of Paranaguá and San Francisco do Sul, we have lost market share during the quarter. Due to an anticipation of volumes in the first quarter, once in the year to date, we are nearly stable in market share. In the next slide, we'll detail the operational highlights. From an operational standpoint, Rumo continues to show good evolution in its main KPIs. In the second quarter, the transit time in northern operation was roughly stable, even with volumes 15% higher. Year to date, the indicator showed a reduction of 8.4%. The dwell time at the Port of Santos improved 5.5% in the quarter and has accumulated a reduction of 10% in the year. The unitary consumption of fuel decreased by 7% in the quarter and reduced more than 8% in the year to date, and continues to contribute to the reduction of CO2 emissions in our ESG agenda. In the next slide, we'll cover the operational results. Transported volume grew by 4.1% in this quarter, sustained by the North operation, which rose 15% and helped us to offset the weaker performance in the South, which was impacted by the crop failure. Looking at the performance by segment, it's worth highlighting the 5.4% growth in grains, 38% growth in fertilizers, and 12% growth in fuels. On the next slide, we'll see the results by operation. Consolidated net revenue grew 11.2% in the quarter, reflecting a 4.1% growth in the volumes and a 6.2% increase in the yields. Fixed costs and SG&A expenses grew by 8%, less than inflation, even with a higher level of operation in the central network, demonstrating and reinforcing our ability to manage costs even in a more challenging environment. The variable costs grew due to the higher volumes and the increase in the fuel prices, which rose 42% year on year. The EBITDA margin improved 3.2 percentage points when compared to the first quarter 2022, but it's still below to the second quarter 2021 due to the crop failure in the South and the higher diesel prices, which reduces the percentage margin even when we pass through this effect to the tariffs. In the next slide, we'll present the financial results. Financial results in the second quarter 2022 got worsened by 241 million when compared to the second quarter 2021. Net cost of debt and other expenses increased mainly due to the increase in the interest rates and in the inflation indexes that adjust the value of the debt and the concession fees and leases that we have in our balance sheet. Net income in the quarter totaled 30 million, mainly reflecting higher financial expenses. We ended the second quarter with indebtedness and gross debt roughly in line with the previous quarter. Last 12 months EBITDA still reflects the corn crop shortfall in the second half 2021. Our debt amortization schedule did not show any significant change as there was no relevant funding or amortization activity during this quarter. It's worth mentioning the long-term profile of our debt, which allows for the execution of the investment plan for the Lucas do Rio Verde extension. In the next slide, we have the market environment and the perspectives for soybean and corn. The competitive environment evolved favorably in the first half, period which we carried out commercial negotiations with our customers. Therefore, the second semester should present a margin recovery compared to the first semester and also versus the previous year. The increase in diesel prices that brings more pressure to trucks than for railways and the higher demand for transportation are the main drivers for the favorable environment. According to AgroConsult projection, Brazil should have a soybean harvest of 127 million tons, out of which 77 million tons should be exported. Mato Grosso should produce roughly 41 million tons and export 27 million tons. Goiás production should reach 17 million tons, meanwhile exports should reach 9 million tons. The growth in Mato Grosso and Goiás, where harvesting has already been completed, should offset the decreasing production in the south region caused by the crop shortfall that brought weaker results for that operation in this quarter. For this year, there's still about 14 million tons to be exported between August and December, out of which approximately 4.5 million tons are going to be originated in the states of Mato Grosso and Goiás. On the next slide, we'll look at the outlook for corn. Production is expected to reach 114 million tons of corn, out of which approximately 39 million tons should be exported. Mato Grosso is expected to produce 14 million tons and export 26 million tons. In Goiás, production should reach 12 million tons, out of which 3 million tons should be exported. The states of Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraná should reach about 12 and 16 million tons produced respectively, while the previous harvest, both states produced only 6 million tons. We have already sold all the volumes for the third quarter and most part of the fourth quarter volume. For now, it seems that the farmer selling is evolving smoothly, which increases the likelihood of a higher availability of grains in the fourth quarter, which could eventually generate higher volumes for us as well. Here, I conclude the presentation, and we can start the Q&A session. Thank you all.
Thank you. We will now begin the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this or any time. If your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing hash key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and we kindly ask you to make it one at a time. Please also pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality that when posing your question. The first question is from Lucas Barbosa from Santander. Hello, good afternoon. I don't know if Beto is there. Thank you, Bergman. Thank you, Gustavo. I have a couple of questions to do with yield. Could you provide some color on what it's looking like for the second half? What's the yield for the contracts you have so far? And for the fourth quarter, Gustavo mentioned pace of sales, farmer selling, and so on. So what will be Rumo's strategy in light of that? Will it bring contracts forward through the price, or will it wait and watch the dynamics and perhaps get higher yields? That's my first question, and then I'll ask a second one. Hi, Lucas. This is Rafael. Beto is here. It's just me and Gustavo. Gustavo did mention corn prospects, which do affect the dynamics. And during the last call, you'll remember there was a concern with a potential downward review that didn't happen in the areas where we operate. So everything looks good, production is good, exports are good, in line with our expectations at the time. So now things look interesting for the second half of the year. Corn is doing well, and it sounds like there's still some soybean to be exported. So potentially we'll have some volume for the second half, and we will be managing volumes and sales as we get the information. So we can't disclose our strategy for the fourth quarter, obviously, because there may be an opportunity there, and we'll position ourselves according to that and following the rationale that we think is more suitable in terms of pricing. And generally speaking, yields for the second half of the year are in line with what we had expected. It's in line with the company's guidance for the year. And in the first half, when we priced corn for the second half, mostly there has been progress in highway spreads, and that has allowed us to achieve better margins to be realized by the company. So to build margins because of higher costs, this is a good time for us to recover margins at a healthier level, and that will help us continue with our investment plans. That's great. Thank you. If I may, I'd like to ask a second question. Could you update us on the toll on BR-163? Will it start at the beginning of 2023? And how are trading companies seeing the pass-through of that price to the first half of 2023? Thank you for your question. Well, I think we have access to the same information you have, which is public. BR-163 concession agreement was signed in April, if I'm not mistaken, and the concessionaire was successful in getting the environmental permits it needed to continue with all the works it needed to do to have a toll road. And according to public information, everything should be ready for the toll as of the end of the year, and to correct the distortion that we had been facing. As for 2023, I think that will depend on the market. When the toll starts, there will be a competitive advantage, and that's part of the commercial conversation. That is part of the scope. And as I said, that is a correction of a distortion. So we will get the company's margins to a healthy level that is compatible to those of a company that is providing good service and which has major investment cycles that will be important to meet the needs of all of our clients. That's very clear. Thank you so much and have a great afternoon. Next question is from Regis Cardoso from Credit Suisse. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for answering my questions. I'd like to hear about the EBITDA expansion drivers. How are those drivers evolving? So there's an increasing yield in the second half compared to the first half. So how are you seeing that? Yields in the first half did not reflect high fuel prices, What will happen in the second half of the year? I'd also like to hear from you. About volumes. And how will that affect your market share? And the second topic is the renewal of MRS and the reduction of the right of way. Is that in force already? And has the reduction been according to what you had imagined? There should be a gain of 200 million reais. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. Thank you. Regis, I'm sorry, but your connection was quite poor, so we couldn't hear everything. Can you hear us? Yes, I can. Okay, great. I will answer what I think I heard from your question. So please, if there's anything I haven't answered, let me know. As for the EBITDA and profit increases by the company with regards to yields in the second half of the year, I did mention that in the previous answer. We have been able to increase our yield levels and to recover margins as expected for the second half. That's in line with what we had expected, and that is very good news for us. As for volumes, on the one hand, we have our operating performance, which is doing well, and we even made a decision to announce July's volume. We did that yesterday so that we could talk about that. We had had a record in March with 6.7 billion RTK, and now we have another record, 7 billion RTK. Great performance in the north operation. So we've recovered from the worst of the crop failure. So things are progressing, and that's what we said in the last call. You know, the importance of looking at how our capacity is tested and how we make the investments we had planned on making. We're very happy about that. Obviously, every day there's a challenge. We need to have good pace in the operation, and the team is doing a great job. The market may bring a potential upside. Obviously, we have two products in the system, so some soybean. Apparently, there's some leftover to be exported. We don't know what the pace will be for whatever's left over. There may be some left over this year, and some may be carried over to next year, which won't necessarily be a bad thing in terms of seasonality and transportation, and corn, which is looking very good. So we do have the possibility of having a fourth quarter with more volume flexibility. And obviously, we're getting ready to be able to meet our client needs and our operation with the right level of profit. Obviously, in the fourth quarter, prices are not as attractive as in the third quarter, but clearly, it's a great starting point. Much more interesting, and I'm not just talking about last year because there was a distortion last year, but we do see a positive scenario in terms of profitability, which will be important for the recovery of margins. And the third subject you touched on, which is MRS, we concluded that recently, and that's positive news on many levels, both to us and any operators that uses that structure. There was a reduction in the price that was charged for the right of passage and some potential investments to be made, which, in our opinion, will continue to support efficiency in arriving at the port, which will be great for everyone, not just Rumo. And the financial impact of the reduction of the price of the right of passage is in line with what we had expected. And obviously, it will depend on the volume that goes past that structure. So I think that's an achievement for everyone, for the whole system. And that was a great job by MRS. Excellent. Very clear answer. I apologize for the quality of my connection. Thanks for taking my questions. Next question is by Daniel Sasson from Itaú BBA. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you, Bergman and Marder, for the presentation. My first question is about your comments on a potential second corn crop, which will be quite strong and does away with any concerns and potential higher volumes in the fourth quarter and the pace that you've mentioned. Do you think you'll be closer to the top part of your EBITDA guidance for the year than you had imagined in the previous quarter? Your consolidated results prospects have changed from quarter to quarter. And on leverage, could you please comment on what possibility, on what your goal might be for the end of 2022, considering the cash that was generated by selling your shares in T16 and T19, those 4 billion that you've announced recently, which I believe has been corrected according to the interest rates. So those are my questions. Thank you. Hi, Daniel. Thank you for your questions. I'll start by the first one. I think this is a potentially favorable moment. It's what we've been saying. We can recover yields. There are three factors. Recovering yield, our operation is doing very well, and the potential volume that may or may not come into the system in the fourth quarter. So that's a more favorable seasonality. At the moment, I'll repeat what I tell you sometimes. You know, the guidance is the guidance, and it will depend on how close we get to the middle of the guidance, either on one side or the other. It will depend on the continuation of a healthy operating performance and how much of that volume will come into the system and our ability to make the most of it at high or adequate profit levels. So that's what we have for the time being. As for leverage, it's the first time we're talking about selling the terminal during a call. We had a material fact on the 15th of July. So just to reiterate, that transaction isn't just a pure sale transaction. We will be keeping 20% of the shares in the company that has the terminal leases. So it's a long-term partnership with operating agreements that will guarantee good service to the rail customers. The terminal will continue to be important to Rumo, and Rumo will continue to be important to the terminal. The key point were the partners, and we were very, very happy to be able to establish that partnership with SLI. We have two shareholders, and it's a very relevant partnership. As for the leveraging, we ended last year at 2.8 net debt over EBITDA, and considering delivering our EBITDA and CapEx financial figures, according to plan, and considering the impact of the sale of the terminal, we are close to two to 2.5 times. But I think it's a good time to make the most to deleverage the company. We had said it's something we want to do, and we're making that happen. So with the sale of the terminal, we are delivering on our strategy to close the year in a healthy position and to conclude and to start our extension in Lucas do Rio Verde in Cuiabá. That's very clear. Thank you. Next question is by Pedro Fontana from Bradesco BBI. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on your result. What is the expectation for your record volume and what are your expectations for higher yields? What is the risk of Rumo reaching the top tariffs in some concessions? Hi, Pedro. This is Gustavo. Pedro. The cap tariffs are reviewed by NTT. We have tariff cycles every 5 years, and within those cycles, those tariffs are readjusted according to inflation. In the short term, we don't see any restrictions on the cap tariffs. Let's not forget that we operate with seasonal tariffs throughout the year. And this increase in the second half of the year, obviously, is because you're moving away from crop peaks. So there's even less pressure when it comes to that than what you see in other months. But generally speaking, practically in every concession we operate in, our price is very far from that cap tariff. So in practice, there won't be a short-term restriction. Second question, please. The volume for the second half will be high, especially in the third quarter, but are there any capacity risks? Well, the market is very, very hot at the moment. So we'll see what our capacity will be to take part in this market in the second half of the year. The results we've delivered in July and our efficiency results we've delivered in the second quarter show us that we believe we'll be able to have a good performance in the second half of the year. But obviously, when you have extreme levels of demand, you're always testing your limits. And that is precisely why there may be a flexibility in terms of volume, because we will be tested to the limit of our capacity in the second half of the year. But that's not a negative thing. It's more a matter of opportunity, you know, to see how much volume we can actually work with, given that both our assets and operations are doing very, very well. That's great. That was very clear. Thank you. Next question is by Alberto Valletti from UBS. Hello, good afternoon. Hi, Bergman. Hi, Marder. Thanks for taking my question. Still on tariffs, you know, we're always anxious about that. You talked about closing the gap, but there's still a considerable gap. If you look at inflation rates from 2015 to now and diesel prices compared to the increases in Rumo's tariffs, do you think the gap will close even more in the long term, not the short term, over the next 2 years? Hi, Alberto. Well, in the previous call, I think we already said that this second half of the year would be an inflection point. And it's a dynamic market. If we look at the competitiveness chart that we showed during the presentation, you'll see that our competitiveness level was quite good in the first half. and it's evolved gradually. We don't know exactly how it's going to behave over the second half of the year. It will probably continue to be favorable, but probably not to the same degree. So the first step here, I think, is to feel comfortable that our price levels in the market will recover margins. It will be able to face inflation. And it's harder to have a broader assessment because then you need to consider toll, the paving of the BR-163. But I'd say that in the short term, our opportunity, what we had considered for the guidance for price levels in the second half that would allow us to cover inflation, diesel prices, and be able to recover margins. That's great. Thank you so much, Marta. Just a quick follow-up question. In the South network, with perhaps lower volumes, you choose where the products come from, and cargo mix is different. Can we consider this increase in the South network the same for the North network? No, I don't think so, Alberto. These are two different things. The South network had consistent performance with other cargo, such as industrial cargo, fuels, pulp, construction material. What drove the yield in the South network was the industrial segment. These are longer term contracts, and therefore they do come with some stability and automatic clauses in the pass through of fuel prices and inflation. So the yield is more protected there. And in the grains market, there is a limitation on what you can do to tariffs because of crop failure. So lower volumes have to do with the fact that there was a crop failure and nothing to do with our pricing policy for that market. In the North, it's a completely different dynamics. We did progress yields in the second quarter compared to the first quarter, even with an unfavorable starting point from last year, and what we'll see now in the second half of the year is the pricing that took place in the second quarter in conditions that were much better than we had last year. So it's a positive scenario for us. And again, this market will probably continue to evolve, and we'll have the toll road next year. And we also need to see what the freight prices will do in the second half to see what kind of pricing levels we'll have in 2023. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. We conclude the Q&A session, and I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Rafael Bergman for his final remarks. Thanks, everyone, for joining us in our earnings release call for the second quarter. The main messages is that this quarter was in line with what we had expected. Volumes were affected by the crop failure in the South, and North volume was well above than last year because we had a good soybean crop, and the corn is also doing well as well. And the operation performance was great with a record of 7 billion RTK in July. Prospects are still positive. We are delivering on the guidance for the year. Part of that has already happened in line with what we had expected for the first half, and the second will be even more constructive in terms of strategy. Even though this was after the second quarter, the buy and sell agreement of the Santos terminal came through, and it's a partnership which shows our discipline in capital allocation. Those were our messages. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This concludes Rumo's conference call. Thank you very much for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great afternoon.